Blog Talk Radio.
On another EYSC Radio Network edition, and welcome everyone. My name is Darren Chapman. How are you? Thank you for spending time with us this evening. Trying to sort out another broadcast on Christian relationships. This time we're headed straight to the pulpit. We're headed straight to the pulpit. Yes, indeed. For those of you who are new to our broadcast, we are sponsored by EYIC. That's the acronym for Equally Yoked in Christ Incorporated, a nonprofit Christian organization dedicated to Christian relationships, biblical education, kingdom building, and ministry networking. The ministry itself, love at the root, because that's what we strive to bring across on these broadcasts, to teach on these broadcasts, love at the root, not necessarily what our human heart, as far as love says regarding relationships, but what the real love, agape love, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13 says about our relationships. And sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow because some of us are stuck, many of us are stuck on many things that we believe is right, but in actuality, Scripture says different. And we don't want to give it up. In case point tonight, should women pastor over men? You know, I've been reading the Facebook event page, and there's conflicting testimony. You know, folks are posting. You know, we have on the left, people are like, yeah, you know, and then I'm reading the comments on the Facebook event page for tonight's broadcast, and then we have on the right, folks are like, no, and then we have in the middle. You know, some people are like in the middle. You know, they're like, you know, and some people are just like way, way off to where it's just like you can tell it's nothing but the spirit of the devil because it has nothing to do. Forget should women pass over men. I mean, some people's comments are just, they're just straight out just denying Jesus. So we know that stuff is on the internet. So it's one of these hot topics, and we do we do not shy from hot topics on this broadcast. So if you're new to the broadcast, you may want to tap into quite a few hot topic discussions that we've had over the last couple of years, we've been bringing biblical education to Christian relationships on the internet, specifically to Facebook and Twitter. We have over 200. You know, folks on the internet, they're like, well, I don't know where to go. I don't know. And I'm like, how can you not know where to go? But it's still a reasonable question. It's a legitimate question. If you have questions and you need answers to those questions regarding Christian relationship living, whether it's single living, whether it's dating, whether it's courting, whether it's married, questions about divorce, questions about raising children, questions about the church, questions about things that we involve ourselves in that sometimes we don't have a grip on regarding relationships, and that's communication, that's trust, that's forgiveness, sex in marriage, sex outside of marriage, you know, things like this. We have a host of and a range of topics that we've discussed over the last couple of years. And we put these broadcasts up on the internet. Like right now, we're talking live, but we archive these broadcasts on the internet because we want people to learn regarding relationships. No one has ever gave any testimony, including myself and those who have called in onto the broadcast and those who have taught on the broadcast, that we were experts. None of us have a cornerstone on the Bible. But many of us have learning of it. Many of us have gifts, spiritual gifts of knowledge and just being able to pull apart and explain it in a way of the word, to where as though others may not have that spiritual gift, especially those who are unsaved. So we want to be able to bring this broadcast and this ministry, continuing to bring this broadcast and this ministry to you all, so that you can continually, not just for a moment, but so that you can continually learn about your relationships as far as being a woman of God or a man of God. So having said that, if you don't know where the link is to tap into these broadcasts, reach out to me on Facebook, inbox me, and I'll shoot you the link. Otherwise, you can go on www. Well, it's on Blog Talk. If you just / EYIC, blogtalkradio.com/EYIC, that's where you can tap into the links. And if you need, for those of you who have been sowing into the ministry, we thank you for that. If you also need the link to that as well, because you have been blessed from what you hear on these broadcasts, you can also tap into gofundme.com/loveattheroot. Okay. So we have here, well, let me give out the bulletin. One bulletin real quick before we go ahead and go ahead with the broadcast. Once again, my name is Darren Chapman. Good evening. For those of you who are living in Philadelphia, you have legal issues, you may want to reach out to, I'm not saying specifically what kind, but if you do have legal issues and you're low income, you don't have a lot of money, and you're looking for a lawyer, you may want to reach out to Philadelphia Christian Legal Clinics. Christian Legal Clinics of Philadelphia. Okay, so these folks what will they do? Well, they provide legal services to low-income clients in the name of Christ. They will pray with you. Okay, there are attorneys that will offer to pray with you regarding your spiritual and your family concerns, which just may be at the root of your legal issues. So they offer cases. They offer pro bono, which means free or reduced fee base service. So you may want to reach out to them and see what type of help you can get. I'm not an advocate of Christians suing each other because the Bible says that we shouldn't, but sometimes, you know, the other party doesn't, it's so hard and heart that, you know, God did put the authorities here on this world to administer justice, so that's something you're going to have to be, that you're going to have to pray on. So they're at 4455 North 6th Street, Suite 100, 215-399-0064. You can reach out to them, and it's called Christian Legal Clinics of Philadelphia. And if you're in surrounding Montgomery, Bucks, Delaware, counties and states, New York, Jersey, Maryland, so on, you may want to border as well if you need this type of help. Or you can reach out to them online at tlc@tlcphila.org. Okay, so if you need more information about that, reach out to me, please. All right. All right, so I'm going to be reading some of these testimonies, some of these comments regarding tonight's broadcast. And if you want to call in because you're itching to do so, you may want to do it quick because during history shows that during the last half hour or so of our broadcast, everybody, I don't know what it is, everybody tries to call in at one time, and then they want to speak for an hour. And we only have like a half hour left. So if you want to get it in early, here's the number, 949-272-9514. Again, the number is 949. If you want to call in, press number 1 after you dial. 949-272-9514 and press number 1. What does the Bible say? Now, I find this interesting, right, because this is the announcement of the broadcast, but yet folks, I don't know whether folks can't read the announcement or the addressment, or they do read it and they just pay it no mind. But the addressment says, what does the Bible say? And I'm like, okay, everybody's getting, it's a lot of people are giving their own opinion, and I'm saying, okay, that's fine. And we take opinions, but the addressment says, what does the Bible say? And we go, every time we have a hot topic, it always starts out this way. And I'm kind of, I sit back in my chair, and I almost literally say the same thing every time we have one of these hot topics. Like, what is it about hot topics that we tend to disregard immediately what the Bible says, and we just want to give our own two cents, opposed to topics that don't really heat people up, and then you know, folks maybe want to come with scripture. I don't understand it, but for some reason, for example, homosexuality. We did a broadcast on homosexuality a couple of years ago. You know, folks are coming all out with, and we start the same way. Well, what does the Bible say about it? Sex outside of marriage, sex in marriage, same thing. And certain topics is just, it triggers people. It's like they lose all sense of scripture. So that tells me that these topics are really close to people's hearts, and they're really close to people's lives, and people are living this stuff. When I say people, let me just say Christians. Many Christians are living these type of taboo topics that we talk about, and it is almost like it just, you know, it just totally slips their mind to start from scripture first, right? And plus, we're on Facebook and Twitter, so, I mean, you know, come on. You're only going to probably have a handful of people who are actually going to quote the true word anyway. Everybody else is, like, to the left, to the right, and somewhere in the middle. All right, so what does the Bible say about women pastoring? It's a very simple question. It's not rocket science. I didn't make this out to be a trick question. It's, you know, you don't necessarily have to get out your Strong's Concordance and all of this. You know, it's really not an in-depth, deep type of Bible study where you're going through pages of notes and breaking pencils, and, you know, it's just, what does the Bible say about women pastoring? period. Now, we're talking about the church. We're not talking about the Old Testament, okay? We're not in Old Testament times. Now, I understand, because somebody's going to jump up and say, well, Darren, you're just going to throw out the, you, if you're going to throw out the Old Testament now, then you might as well throw it out for a lot of other things that also could apply and does apply in New Testament times. Somebody's going to jump up and say, well, you know, Jesus didn't come to disregard the Old Testament. He came to fulfill it and extend it, and I understand all that. But the point that I'm trying to make regarding moving aside, I'm not moving aside the Old Testament. I'm just putting in perspective the people that should be viewed in light of this question, in light of the time that we live in right now. Okay? Because I could very well jump up and say, well, you know, if we were going to stick to everything that the Old Testament says about this subject tonight, and we're not in Old Testament times, we're living in New Testament times, then I might as well just come out and say, well, you know what, every male Christian that's born, that's the living church, you go get circumcised. If you want to put it like that. For all of you Old Testament folks who, you know, can't see the contrast. Okay? Obviously, we know circumcision. I'm talking about physical circumcision. You know, when babies born, circumcised. Okay, so let's and this is my thing here. A lot of folks can't seem to split these things. And because they can't, I'm just giving you, that was one good example I gave. I'm pretty sure there's many more. But folks can't seem to split these things. And because they can't split these things, they come up with wrong interpretation about the dispensation that we live in according to the people that we're talking about at this particular time, once again, the church. And this is the age of grace and not the age of law. So, let's extend the question. What does the Bible say about women pastoring? And you jump up and say, well, women are allowed to pastor. Okay, fine. I didn't say that they weren't allowed to pastor. Here's the question. What does the Bible say about women pastoring? And then let's extend the question. What does the Bible say about women pastoring and teaching men? Now that could be a totally different answer. And women. And children. So now you have to ask yourself, do I only have one answer in the breakdown of this is one question, but it's really, if you think about it, it's like three different questions. Well, what does the Bible say about women pastoring? So that's one question. Pastoring and teaching men, that's two. Women, that's three. And children, that's four, if you want to separate the subjects. So you have to look at yourself and say, well, I have one answer. And does my one answer apply to all of these people, men, women, and children, and women pastoring itself? Okay. So, or women pastoring men, women, and children. Excuse me. So I have one answer, and it covers all that. You may have an answer saying, well, I have an answer from the Bible about women pastoring women and children, but I got a different answer when it comes to women pastoring and teaching men. Okay? And obviously, we do have different answers, and I'm about to read them, too. Okay, so let's go on over to Facebook. And some of this stuff I'm not going to read because it's just too far off to the left. And I want to spend more time building a case that supports Scripture and not spending the two-hour broadcast that we have building a case that does not support it. Okay, so, and this is on the Facebook event page, so you folks don't think I'm making this up. You know, folks are chiming in and putting their comments. So Darlo Murray, looks like a brother. I can see his picture. Looks like a brother in a business suit. Okay. So Darlo Murray says, she should not, according to the word of God. No, she should not, according to the word of God. So let's keep in light the question tonight. Should women pastor over men? Okay. And he says, no, she should not, according to the word of God. And then Healing Crusade Center puts, Bible states, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So I guess that the Healing Crusade Center, and many of you may have the same answer. Well, yes, women are allowed to pastor, to be pastors. Well, that's one question. And then the second question is, who are they allowed to be pastors over? So if your answer is all people, because your answer may be all people because the Bible states, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The same answer that Healing Crusade Center put down. Okay, that may be your answer. Darla Mary comes back to that answer and says, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh to reconcile to himself. That does not mean that he will change the order of spiritual leadership. See, you see where we're at? So pouring out my spirit on all flesh is true, but does that mean that that's going to change the order of spiritual leadership that God has placed down? You see, if folks really understand the exegetical word, they're not going to contradict themselves, and they're not going to contradict God's word, and they're not going to flip-flop God's word. Darlo Murray, he continues, he says, in order to receive a spirit, we must confess and believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. God's order is pretty clear. And the problem is folks are eating from the wrong tree, trying to be like God. When God made man in his image, he did so for a reason. We must, as the body of Christ, stop playing church. All right, so Tonda Wells, this is a sister. Well, let me go back, because I'm in the middle of the comments here. Okay. So let me go back. So this brother, Robert Connor, right? So he puts in here, if it were not for the woman, the man would not exist. The womb man is the bringer of life and should be given respect, not be put beneath the man. But all religion places the woman under the man. To answer your question, yes, the woman should be given all authority. Okay, now, I can pick apart this comment and twist it so many different ways that it'll look like a pretzel. My point is that his answer is just all twisted. So Tonda Wells, a sister here, she comments, I am a woman pastor, and I know I've been called by God. Nothing will ever change that, and I stand on the word. Okay, so I'm going to scroll down here, and then she says, she's talking to Darlo Murray, one of the brothers. I just read one of his comments. She said, I'm not a so-called pastor. I am a pastor, and no devil in hell can change that. I know the Trinity. I serve a true and living God. Okay, and okay, she goes on. All right, now, and she says, Paul, now he comes back, and I'm going to read her whole statement. She says, Darlo Murray, I'm not a so-called pastor. I am a pastor. And no devil in hell can change that. I know the Trinity. I serve a true and living God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I called me, chose, and equipped me. I'm assuming she meant he called me. I will do what he has called me to do. Now, you notice in her testimony, she states that she's a pastor, but she didn't say who she was a pastor over. I find that interesting. Okay, because once again, the addressment is saying, what does the Bible say about women pastoring and teaching men, women, and children? If you want to call in, you want to jump into this discussion, please do. Here's the number. It's 949-272-9514. Again, 949-272-9514. If you want to dial in, press 1. Okay, because I see folks on the radio board and in chat room. So if you want to listen for a little while, that's fine. But we love participation, right? All right, so Darlo comes back and says, the first scripture he quotes is 1 Timothy 2:12, and I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. Okay. Then he goes on to say God is not the author of confusion. Okay. And then he finishes off by saying this: the issue this day is that you ladies go against the word and call yourselves, and he doesn't complete the sentence, okay? So then Tonda puts, Paul spoke those words. I mean, I was called by God. I agree with him saying it's okay for women, not that he doesn't believe in God, okay? See, there's a lot of typos in here. So once again, I love everyone, and I get along with everyone. God is love. I preach and teach the word of God. Okay, and then she goes on to say she doesn't debate the word. Okay, so Darlo Murray, the brother, he puts in here 1 Timothy 2:12. Tonda, who says she's a female pastor, she doesn't say who she's pastoring over. But it's interesting that she put in here in her comment, Paul spoke those words. It's almost, and Tonda, if you're listening, you call in and you can clarify, but to me, it's almost like she's saying, well, you know, if Paul said that women couldn't teach, let me go back to the verse. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, 1 Timothy 2:12. And she says, Paul, Darlo posted that, and the brother, and the sister comes back and says, well, Paul spoke those words. So it's almost like the sister is saying, well, you know, if Paul, whoever spoke those words back then, that was for the sisters back then who weren't allowed to pastor. But this is the church, and women today are allowed to pastor. Now, she didn't say pastor over who. She just said pastor. Okay, so we still don't know her answer. We can assume that she's saying pastor over men, women, and children, but we can't, you know, we can assume that, but we can't make it concrete because she didn't finish her, or she didn't add that in her statement. But the point I'm trying to make is she's kind of dishing Paul by saying, yeah, well, that's what Paul said back then, but this is now. That is not how you biblically interpret scripture. I was in school, right? And for those of you who have theological school, right? So I'm in class, right, years ago, right, in ESCM Palmer Seminary. So I'm in class one day, and we were talking about evangelism, right, the Great Commission, right? You know, the gospel going forward, Somalia, Judea, you know. So the guy who was sitting across from me, he was saying, well, you know, the disciples, when, you know, that Great Commission, that take the gospel throughout, you know, throughout the world, Judea, Somalia, and so on, that was for the that was meant just for those disciples. That's not meant for us today. Jesus told them, the disciples, to, you know, go and take the word out. That was just for them. That's not for the church today. Now, if you think about it, you have to say to yourself, that's crazy, because if that was true, there would be no witnessing nowhere today, anywhere, anytime, by anyone who was Christian, right? Because us Christians are the only ones that share the gospel, right? Unsaved don't know the gospel, right? So that can't be true. But he swore up and down. I'm looking at this man across the table, swore up and down. Well, if that was for the disciples in the Old Testament, then why do we see in Acts the disciples sharing the word? Why did they have to run and go in hiding for the simple reason that they were sharing the word? Why did they have to go run and hide if they weren't supposed to share the word? Because I don't see any other reason why the early church went into hiding other than the fact that they were being persecuted because they were bringing forth the gospel and sharing the word and expanding it. You see, this is what I'm talking about. Folks just are a little stretched with this stuff. Okay? All right, so let's keep moving forward. I read a little bit about, I'm not going to read all of it, but I read some of what Brother Mary and Sister Wells on the Facebook event page for tonight's broadcast was talking about. Once again, if you want to call in and give your 2 cents on tonight's topic, should women pastor over men? The number is 949-272-9514. Again, it is 949-272-9514. My name is Darren, and welcome. You're listening to the Ministry of Love at the Root, where we talk about Christian relationships. Nothing but Christian relationships. We don't pop popcorn or sell hot dogs. All we do is Christian relationships all the time, right here on the internet, to Facebook and Twitter. All right, so let me try to go to my homepage on Facebook, where folks chimed in about tonight's topic as well. And there are a lot of comments. I'm not going to read all of them. There are a lot of comments to be read. So I don't know how to pronounce. It looks like Oli Uly Watson. I don't know whether this is a brother or a sister, but the person writes, no, women should not, point blank, period. Genesis 3:16, until the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. I don't see what that has to do with pastoring. Isaiah 3:12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which led thee caused thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. I can see how you can, you know, squeeze that in there, but once again, who are you talking to, the church or the Old Testament? For I understand, women like to use Deborah, which some people say Deborah, as their key to women ruling or past print men. Then this person comes along with Isaiah 43:18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of the old. Behold, I will do a new thing now. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Once again, you know, amen to scripture, but we're talking about pastoring and women pastoring and women pastoring over men, women, and children. So I think that there's another verse that could be better fitted, even though amen to God's word, and thank you for posting that. It goes forward and says, 1 Corinthians 14:34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And you can use that, but once again, now we're talking about 1 Corinthians 14, right? All right, so you can use that. But then the question is that scripture in regards to pastoring, women pastoring? In other words, you know, the verse is going, is saying, let your women keep silence in the churches. Well, what is that about? You know, because many people may say, well, back then, you know, the command was for women to keep silence in the church because women were not as educated as men back then, so that's why they were to keep silent. Well, what does that have? And I understand, and then someone can say, well, that's the reason why they shouldn't be pastors. And if you want to tie it in that way, I understand that. But what does the how is the verse specifically attaching itself to the question? Can women be pastors? And if yes, if no, is this the reason why? Does any verse before or any context before or after this or in this passage or in this book correlate with the question for tonight? Jeremiah 9:20. This person comments, yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing and everyone her neighbor lamentation. Again, what does that have to do with this verse, have to do with women pastoring? See, and this is part of why I started by saying, you know, it's either folks just don't give verses or they give verses that don't pertain. It's one thing I learned a long time ago. When you go to the hospital to visit someone who's sick, don't take scripture with you regarding prosperity. In other words, when you go in the hospital, you take your Bible and you go in the hospital and you're going to visit somebody sick and you want to pray over them, that's not the time to pray for prosperity of money. You want to pull out the verses that have to do with healing. Is anybody following me? The point I'm trying to make is we need to use the right verses according to what is going on. So once again, the same person watches and puts Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, I can see how you can tie that into it, but still doesn't answer the question of why women can't or cannot be pastors and who they can pastor over. All right, I'm going to keep looking. I'm only going to do two or three more, if that. All right, so evangelist Margareta McCleary, she writes, I would love to say women should not be pastors over men. Being one who is subject to God, it is not my place to say so. Well, it is your place to say so. If you're his child and you have his word and you know what his word says. This is the reason why God gives us his word, so we can rightfully divide the word and discern the word, so that way when we see things that are not correct in the church, you know, we can speak out and say, this is why it's not correct in the church, because of, and then you go to the book and the passage and the verse and then wherever God's word, you know, says, and, you know, whatever he says about it. So she says, I would love to say women should not be pastor over men. Being one who is subjected to God, it is not my place to say so. I can have my opinion, but when you are a child of God, his word takes priority over my opinion. Yeah, correct. Yes, it does. I can point out many reasons why women should not be pastor, but So I'm assuming she's trying to say, but this is what the word of God says, Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I can understand that, but does that verse answer the question of why should women pastor? And if so, should they pastor over men? See, and this is why the church is so out of line today, because we have Christians that want to jump up and give every verse in the Bible that they can think of, but none of them answer the specific question at hand. Now, you can tie it in, I'm pretty sure. We're not discarding the Word of God, but come on. Once again, if you go to the hospital to visit the sick, that's not the time to be quoting monetary prosperity verses. That's the time to be quoting healing verses. If we're talking about women pastoring, if they should pastor, and if so, and if not, why, and if so, and where's the verse, specific verse, and if so, are they allowed to pastor over men, women, and children, then where is the specific verse? And this is why the church is out of line. And this is the reason why we have this ministry online, and we teach about relationships. folks don't like to hear this, but at the end of the day, we're going to have a certain amount of Christians who still will hear the truth and they will disregard it and go on doing what they want to do or what they feel is right or what they only know is right to do anyway. And that is where the shame lies. Okay. Because you don't want to believe it's true just because I said it. You don't want to believe it's true when you're reading in the Word of God. So how in the world are you ever going to believe, get to the point of believing that it's true, that what you actually believe is a lie from hell, the life that you're actually living is a lie from hell? I'm not saying your life is a lie from hell. The lifestyle that you're living is a lie from hell. How can you ever get to the point of believing if you don't want to believe what your brother tells you that is true, and when you read scripture, you don't want to believe what it says is true about the type of life you're living, then how will you ever believe? All right. All right, you can call in, folks. We're going 15 minutes close to the first hour complete of tonight's broadcast. Should women pass over men? If you want to dial in, the number is 949-272-9514. Again, the number is 949-295-14. My name is Darren Chapman, and welcome. Thanks for spending time with us this evening. Okay, so let's talk about some things. Let's talk about some things. Because once again, this is a hot debated issue in the church. The issue of women serving as pastors, and if so, pastors over men and women, and children and so on. And of course, there are women who believe that they should serve as pastors. There are women that believe that they should not serve as pastors. You know, I spoke to a woman, a sister on Facebook a while ago, and to my understanding, I believe it was her family that passed down the church. I don't know whether it was her mother or father or someone or relative who was pastor of a church, and it was handed down to her, and then she up and became, she took over as pastor of the church, and she's pastoring the church over men, women, and children. Well, I understand the situation, but is it right? You know, now, if you're put into a position where now you're the spiritual leader over one person, 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, it could be 100,000 people. You're put into a situation overnight to where as though now you're looking at wealth. You're looking at tithes coming in and money coming in. You know, and you can do whatever your will, whatever your will influences you to do with that money, because you now have a congregation. And and that can be tempting, very tempting. It can be tempting to the point where you believe that it's actually God's will for you to take that type of role just because it's come before your life. But the question is it? Hard to turn back from? For most, yeah. The Word of God proclaims a woman should learn in quietness in full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. 1 Timothy 2:11-12. So in the church, God assigns different roles to men and women. Why? Well, it's a direct result of the way mankind was created and the way in which sin entered the world. See, we're not going to go back there. We teach love at the root here in this ministry. You notice all of the comments that I read from both men and women just now off of Facebook had nothing to do. Didn't even start nowhere near with why women should pastor or not, with the fact of the from the very beginning of how sin entered into the world and man and woman himself. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, just hang on. God, through the Apostle Paul, restricts women from serving in roles of teaching and or having spiritual authority over men. So the sister jumps up and she says, yeah, well, that was Paul talking. Excuse me. Just like I'm talking out of my mouth, when I'm inspired to speak by God, revelation out of my mouth, it is not me speaking, but God speaking through me. So you can't, so no matter how much you want to disregard me, Darren Chapman, if I'm speaking the inspired word of God out of my mouth and you don't agree with what I'm saying, then the fastest way for you to disregard what I'm saying, Darren Chapman, is to disregard me. Now, you're disregarding God's word that's moving out of my mouth at the same time, so therefore now you're subject to not my judgment, but God's judgment. Because you don't want to see it as a word from God. You just want to see it as a word from me. So it's easier to disregard me than it is to disregard God. But that's what you're doing. So this sister who says that she's a pastor on Facebook, when I read her comment, she's saying, oh, well, that's what Paul said. Same thing. God, through the Apostle Paul, is restricting women from serving in roles of teaching and having spiritual authority of men. So she's saying... And you notice she's contradicting her words because she's siding with God, but she's dissing Paul. But God's the one that's speaking through Paul. You see what I'm talking about, folks? I'll say it again. She's dissing Paul, but God is the one that's speaking through Paul. But yet she sides with God. And a lot of us don't even, you know, a lot of us don't learn in relationships because from the pulpit or even from our brothers and sisters who are our friends, you know, who have great wisdom and understanding. They have been given spiritual gifting and being able to explain relationships in a certain way to where as though from a Bible perspective, from a biblical viewpoint. But they don't listen because, folks, as I said this before, at the end of the day, there's going to be a majority of Christians who just want to do what they want to do anyway. And it's getting to that point today. If you look around us today and folks who say they're a Christian and you look at what they're doing and it's like you read God's word and it's far apart to the east and the west. They don't care. I don't care. If T.D. Jakes says it, I don't care if Joyce Meyer says it, I don't care if Creflo Dollar says it, I don't care if Paul in Scripture says it, I don't care if Darren Chapman says it on tonight's broadcast, I don't care who says it, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Because I know that God spoke to me and told me to be, and I'm a female, told me to be a pastor over men. And I know that's what he told me. Catch me in a dream, middle of the night, standing in line at the McDonald's or Burger King. I got the revelation, whatever. This is what. But no one, if you have a person like this in front of you, it seems as though no one, I don't want to say no one, but it seems as though folks don't jump up and say, well, how is God going to go against his word? There's no way in the world God would have given you that revelation because if he did, that would be going against his word. And he's not going to go against his word. Did you ever stop to think about that? So now, if folks did stop to think about that and they read the scriptures that I just read, now they're blind to God's word for whatever reason. And it may be for the fact of their there's a lot of things, their selfishness, their pride, their idolatry. Of wanting to be a pastor over men, women, and children to the point where they can't see, they can't understand. If they read it, if somebody reads it to them, they just don't get it because this pastoring, being a pastor herself is an idol over men. It's an idol. And she, if, for I used to say a long time ago, if you walk up to a crazy person and call them crazy, they're not going to understand what you're saying. Why? Because they're crazy. I'm trying to put this in practical terms. You ever walk up to a person that has, that's mentally challenged? If you look them in their face and say, you know what, you're mentally challenged, you know, you're a little slow, they're not going to understand what you're saying because they're mentally challenged. If a sister who's a pastor and passes over men, if this is her idol, she's not going to understand what you're saying. If you come up to her and say, Paul said, Jesus said, you got to, there has to be some serious praying, and there has to be, and obviously we're going down the block to breakthrough and deliverance and so on. But, you know, just by you saying it to her face, I'm not going to say chances are, because, you know, you just may be the one that God is using to speak his word through, and the light may click on. But for, in a lot of situations, they're not going to hear you. You read them the scripture, they're not going to believe it. They're not going to understand it. They're going to pawn it off because that idol is so hard in their life. It's so hard that they believe that they have turned the idol into a false light. Oh, God spoke to me. This is the light. No, he didn't. Not regarding what you're saying, because if he did, he would be going against his word. And then they jump up and they start screaming, oh, I don't, you know, they start calling you the devil and oh, just get, you know, and they distance themselves and they don't speak to you anymore. It just gets ugly because that idol is so strong in their life, the idol of pastoralship over men is so deep in their life, you just going to have to keep praying and praying. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. The same. This is interesting. It's the same blood of Jesus that they claim that brought them revelation to be a Passover man that they claim, right? But how can the blood of Jesus claim something that's opposite, that's going to be contrary to the blood of Jesus and God's word? The blood of Jesus is not going to proclaim something that's going to go against the blood. God, through the Apostle Paul, restricts women from serving in roles of teaching and or having spiritual authority over men. This precludes women from serving as pastors over men, which includes preaching to them, teaching them publicly, and exercising spiritual authority over them. I'm going to say this again. Women, boy, and I love my sisters, I really do. I love my sisters in Christ, I really do. But some of them, because of the position that they, and you know, you never know that they get together in groups and they form, you know, clubs and cliques and ministries and whatever they may form. You know, winning pastors and leadership over men, over all people. You know, they get, it's just, see, and let's say like you had 100 people in the church, right? Let's say that only 100 people in the world, the church was only formed of 100 people in the world. Let's say, for example, right? I'm just trying to make this number really low so I can get this point across. So let's say that the church was actually made up of 100 people in the world, right? And let's say 25 of the 100 were women pastors who pastored over men. That means 25% of the church is out of order. So now the question is, folks are running around saying, how is the church ever going to be one? We got to be one when Jesus comes back. We all got to be on the same page when Jesus comes back. That's not going to be the case as long as stuff like this exists. Let's say that there's the church is comprised of 100 people in the world, and 25 people of the 100 are gay and lesbian. people running around saying the church has got to be one. We got to get together and be one. We all got to get together and be one. That's not going to be the case. You can preach and teach all you want, but that's not going to be the case. Until the 25 people who say they're Christians are converted from lesbianism and transgenderism and homosexuality, until these sisters who are pastors are converted and stop having a standing tall over men with spiritual authority and teaching in the church, church is not going to be one. We'll be one spiritually, but we're not going to be one as far as mind, speech, and action. Same thing that the early church was, if you read in Acts in the very beginning, so much that they wanted for nothing. Women serving as pastors should not be preaching over men, teaching over men, or exercising spiritual authority over men, period. Not in the church, not in the home, not in the community, not nowhere on the face of this planet. Period. Now, since nobody don't want to call in, I'm going to give out this number one more time. See, because now I'm going to come out with the folks that would jump up and say, well, this is the reason why I say I should be a woman pastor over men. Since nobody wants to call in and say this. Okay, I'll say it. Here we go. All right, so here's the number. It's 949-272-9514. Again, you're listening to the EYC Radio Network. Love at the Root Ministry. We talk about Christian, should women pass over men? We talk about nothing but Christian relationship, folks. Over 200 archives on different topics and about from everything from single life, family, dating, marriage, all different types of topics, including tonight where we go right into the pulpit. Reach on out to me and I'll give you the link where you can tap into these broadcasts online and be blessed and bless your relationships. All right, so here's the number, 949-272-9514, if you want to call in, press 1. All right, so now let's go on down the block. Somebody's going to pop up and say, well, the reason why Paul is restricting women from teaching back then was because women were uneducated. Somebody's going to pop up and say that, right? But if we understand 1 Timothy chapter 2, nowhere does it give or even mention anything about educational status as far as the reason why Paul is restricting women from teaching. Mind you, we're talking now we're talking about over men. We're not just talking about the reason why women should be pastors, because I believe that women can be pastors. Okay, and I can go into scripture. I believe that women should be pastors over women and children, and I'm going to go into scripture, but I also believe that women should not pastor over men, and I'm going into scripture now. We've already been into scripture, but we're going to go a little bit deeper now. Okay, so we're going to dispel some of the myths here. Okay, so let's start with education. Okay, well, yeah, Paul's talking that because women were uneducated. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 2 didn't mention anything about educational status. And to go even further, if education was a qualification for ministry, that means the majority of Jesus' disciples would not have been qualified. Paul was only restricting the women from Ephesus, from teaching men. Right? Because 1 Timothy was written to Timothy, right? The pastor of the church of Ephesus, right? So, but here's the thing. Ephesus was known for its temple of what? Artemis. And the women in that time were of authority in a culture of paganism. So Paul was reacting against a female-led custom of the Ephesian idolaters. And the church, our church, needed to be worlds apart from them. However, going back to 1 Timothy doesn't even mention anything about Artemis. Nor does Paul mention any type of standard of practice of Artemis worshipers as a reason for restriction. So you can't even use that. So now we can't use education. We can't use a cultural practice of Artemis worshipers in Ephesus. Somebody's going to jump up and say, well, you know, it's the husband and wife thing. Paul's only referring to husbands and wives, not men and women in general. So he's only referring to wives who want to be pastors, you know, over their husbands, over men, and not single women or women in general, you know. Well, the Greek word for woman and man in 1 Timothy 2 could refer to husband and wives. However, the basic meaning of the word is broader than that. The same Greek word or words are also used in verse 8 and 10. So only husbands, and here it is, only husbands to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger and dispute, verse 8. Only wives to dress modestly, have good deeds, and worship God, verse 9 and 10. Verse 8 and 10 clearly refer to all men and women, not just husbands and wives. So there's nothing in the context that would indicate a narrowing of husbands and wives if you go to 11 through 14. So you can't use that either. Okay, so education is out. Cultural practice of Artemis is out. A specific category of husband and wives, specifically wives, pastoring over men is out. Because the root Greek word for husband and wives, clearly, if you take husband and wives, it doesn't mean men and women in general. Okay? Paul is not referring to husband and wives, not men and women in general. The Greek word for woman and man. Okay, even though it can refer to husband and wives, the basic meaning of the word is broader because we see the same Greek word used in verse 8 and 10. And we go to 9 and 10. 8 and 10, husbands to lift up holy hands, wives to dress modestly. Yeah, they're talking about husbands, they're talking about wives, but it's broader. In other words, verse 8 to 10 clearly, once again, refers to all men and all women. It's not just husband and wives. So you may be a wife and you're saying to yourself, well, you know, the single sisters can't jump up and be a pastor and pastor over men, but I can. And you may be a single sister saying the same thing. Well, you know, it's just for the married women of God, you know, who can pastor over men, but I can't as a single unmarried woman. It's universal. No women, period, should be pastoring over a man, spiritual authority over a man, teaching, preaching over man, spiritually. All right, so let's go further. Folks jump up and they start talking about, what, Miriam, Deborah, and Huldah, right, the other women in the Bible, Priscilla and Aquila, and so on, right? And if you read the Facebook comments, they don't tell you the history. They just, it's like they're trying to point out that, okay, these are females, and God used them, and this is the reason why females can be pastors over men. That's basically what they're saying. Everything else in the middle is just fluff. But they're not telling you what the history is of these women. They're not telling you the purpose, the mission. They're not telling you none of that. And this is what gets me, especially online, where folks want to post a comment of 4 books long, and it adds up to 0. So if you know, it kind of burns you up. You know, if you know that you know, it just kind of burns you up. In Acts 18, Priscilla and Aquila are presented as faithful ministers for Christ. Okay. Did Priscilla and her husband teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to apostles? Yes. In their home, they explained to him the way of God more adequately. That's in Acts 18:26. So right there, you know, a woman of God would jump up and say, well, Aquila, it says in Acts 18:26, Aquila explained to Apollos, her and her husband, explained to him the way of God more adequately. Yes, she did. Well, isn't that teaching over men? Does the Bible ever say that Priscilla pastored a church or taught publicly or became the spiritual leader of a congregation of saints? No. For every woman of God who jumps up and says, I want to pastor over men, they're basically saying that I want to become a spiritual leader of a congregation, including men. I want to teach publicly over men. I want to be the spiritual leader over men. I want to pastor over men. But here's the thing. Aquila, it's not even the fact of the man. Aquila didn't even pastor over saints, period. As far as we know, Priscilla was not involved in ministry activity in contradiction to 1 Timothy 2. Read 11 and 14. She just explained, read what the Bible says. She just explained to him the way of God more adequately. I can have a sister walk up to the corner and explain to me the way of God more adequately in a way that I didn't understand before. It doesn't mean that she's pastoring over men. It doesn't mean she's my spiritual leader. It doesn't mean that she's teaching me publicly or pastoring over me publicly, over me being a man. One thing is not the other. Does the Bible ever say that Priscilla pastored a church? Simple question. No. Or taught publicly, add to that, over men? No. I'm not trying to make this difficult, folks. Or became the spiritual leader of a congregation of saints, including men? No. Then why are folks jumping up talking about, well, Aquila this and Aquila that, and that's the reason why God told me that I can be a female pastor? Let's keep moving down the block, because folks, you know, folks don't want to hear the truth, right? We just want to do what we want to do, right? So you know, a whole bunch of women on Facebook and whatever, they jump up and they want to delete me and they want to block me, you know, oh boy, that Darren. You ought to hear what he's talking. He's against women, and so on and so on. Don't listen to that brother. Boy, don't marry him. Don't marry him and have your babies. He's gonna have you all in chains. And this, you know, this is the type of stuff they jump up and say. And they all conspire. You know, there's a whole bunch of female so-called women of God who supposedly love their brother. And all, you know, now they're conspiring against me, trying to bring down the ministry. And it's another thing. But it ain't about me. It's about them not understanding the truth. And all I'm doing, I'm just a messenger. I'm just bringing out the truth. I put the phone number up. Nobody wants to call in and contest it. So I'm assuming folks know it's true. 949. Oh boy. 949. Here's the number. 949-272-9514. Okay. It's going down a block. Theobi. All right, y'all know Romans chapter 6, chapter 16, Theobi, right? Theobi is called a deacon or servant in the church, right? Highly commended by Paul, right? You're a woman of God in the church right now. First lady, evangelist, deacon, prophetess. On down the block. Theobi is called a deacon or servant in the church, right? Okay. Theobi, Romans 16, chapter 16. Theobi has something in common with Priscilla, Acts 18. Okay, going back, Acts 18, Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, so Theobi here now in Romans 16 has something in common with Priscilla, going back to Acts 18, okay, there is nothing in Scripture to indicate that Phoebe was a pastor or teacher in the church. Now, able, if you understand the phrase, the actual words, able to teach is given as a qualification for elders. Phoebe was a deacon. Go to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. I'll say this again. Phoebe is called a deacon or servant in the church, Romans 16, 1. Able to teach, however, because we're talking about pastors, women who want to be pastors, that means you have, you supposedly have to, for you to be a pastor, you have to have the teaching authority over people. And in this broadcast, we're talking about men, okay? So you have to be able to teach. So woman of God jumps up today and she says, well, Phoebe was a deacon and she served in the church, but doesn't mean she was a teacher. Being able to teach is given as a qualification for elders, but not for deacons. Phoebe was a deacon, not an elder. Go to 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. If you go to 1 Timothy, let's keep moving down the block. If you go to 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, it lists the structure. Now, here we go. It lists the structure of the church, the structure of the church, okay, of the reason why women cannot be, and it makes it clear. Okay, so if you're trying to tell this to a woman of God, a sister of God who's a pastor, she pastors over men, and she's just, you may have said everything that I've mentioned so far, and she's just not getting it, you may want to go here. Because this is the actual structure of the church. Verse 13, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 13 begins with 4, giving the cause of Paul's statement, verses 11 and 12. 4 and giving the cause. Now, let me explain this. Why should women not teach or have authority over men? Because. Now, remember when I said, now we're in the second hour of the broadcast now. Remember when I said in the first hour that folks was commenting on the reason why, back and forth on tonight's Facebook events page, but nobody took it back to the reason of sin and how sin entered the world, Adam and Eve. Okay, and I said I was going to, you know, go down that block. Okay, so here we go. Why should women not teach or have authority over men? Because Adam was created first and Eve. Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived. That's 13 and 14. So God created Adam first, and then created Eve to be a helper for Adam. The order of creation has universal application for the family, Ephesians 5, and in the church. It's not just for the family, but it's for the church as well. So when women of God jump up and they say, yeah, well, I can't have authority over my husband, who's a man of God, because we equally yoke, right? Okay, woman of God, man of God, right? So I can't, woman of God to jump up in the home and say, I can't have authority over my husband, but I can go in the church and have authority over all them other men of God. What? Oh, boy, I don't think nobody listening to what I'm saying. How are you, as a woman of God, going to look in your husband's face and say, "I don't have the spiritual authority to teach you because you're the husband of the house"? But you're going to walk into God's house and tell, oh boy, you're going to walk into God's house and tell the men of God in His house, in God's house, that you have the spiritual authority to teach over them when you don't even want to do it in your home for facing your husband. You can switch it up, same thing. The fact that Eve was deceived, you can go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Is the reason why women should not serve as pastors or have spiritual authority over men. does not mean that women are gullible. It doesn't mean that women are gullible or that they are all more easily deceived than men. Because if all women were more easily deceived than men, then why would they be allowed to teach children who are easily deceived and other women who are supposedly more easily deceived? All right, just trying to put it in a very practical sense. The text simply says that women are not to teach men or have a spiritual authority over men because Eve was deceived. God, not Paul, has chosen to give men the primary teaching authority in the church. So God, not Darren, has chosen to give the primary teaching authority in the church. So you want to diss Paul and what he says? Oh, well, Paul was talking about the women back then, not now. You want to diss Darren? Oh, Darren, it's just another radio broadcast, teaching, preaching, whatever. T.D. Jakes said the same thing. Now, all of a sudden, T.D. Jakes is not the apple of your eye no more because he says that women are not allowed to have spiritual authority over men. So how many no's and how many faces you going to put your hand up in front of people in this world to try to tell you the truth before you get it that, hey, this could be the truth? And my heart is just so hard because my idol is being a pastor over men itself. That's my idol, and I don't want to admit it. And I need deliverance, and I need revelation, and I need breakthrough. Yes, women in the Bible, they excel in gifts. Many, many women, they excel in gifts, gifts of hospitality, of mercy, of teaching, of evangelism, of helps. A good portion of the ministry, a good portion of ministry depends on women. Even with this radio broadcast, we're talking about relationships, right? You think that there would be more men listening to this, to these broadcasts than women, right? Because we are the spiritual leaders in the home and we are spiritual leaders in the church. But why is it that we have a overflowing majority of women than men? And even in the brick and mortar church, same thing. But that's another broadcast, right? Folks don't want to hear the truth. I'm going to do a broadcast called The Church Don't Want to Hear the Truth. How does that sound? Many women excel in gifts, different gifts. Women in the church are not restricted, and I put this post up just the other day on Facebook. Women in the church are not restricted from publicly praying or prophesying, 1 Corinthians 11, exercising. They're not prohibited from exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. They're not prohibited from demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. That they're not prohibited from proclaiming the gospel to the lost, Matthew 28, Acts 1, 1 Peter 3. What they're prohibited from doing is having spiritual teaching authority over men. Because God has ordained that men are to serve in positions of spiritual authority in the church. This is not because men are necessarily better teachers, if that makes you feel any better, women of God. But right now, I'm not trying to appeal to your feelings. I'm trying to appeal to the spirit of truth that I know that's in you, woman of God, that I want to connect with this the truth and scriptures of the word that I'm bringing you tonight. Iron sharpen iron. I want you to look past your emotions. I want you to look past your feelings. I want you to look past your culture. I want you to look past your human relationships. I want you to look past all this. I want you to look past your dreams and your desires. And I want you to look past this that are opposite of God's word. I want you to look past this stuff. Women are encouraged to teach other women. Titus chapter 2. Because if they weren't, then a lot of you women of God who have children wouldn't be allowed to teach your own children. Now, who's going to teach your children? Women are encouraged to teach other women, Titus 2. The Bible does not restrict women from teaching children. The Bible does not restrict you from teaching children. The Bible encourages you to teach other women, Titus 2. The Bible forbids you to teach, have spiritual teaching authority over men, First Timothy chapter 2. And this precludes women from serving as pastors once again to men. Once again, it does not make the woman less important by any means, but it rather gives them a ministry focus more in agreement with God's plan, not your plan of the church, but God's plan of the church. It rather gives you a ministry more focused in agreement with God's plan for the congregation, not your plan for the congregation, with God's plan for your marriage, not your plan for your marriage and trying to bully your husband because you may make more money or you may have more education or you may have more political power or you may have more friends or you may have a more position or wealth or more spiritually gifted. And it does not make you less important, but rather gives you a ministry that is more focused in agreement with God's plan and his gifting of them for you. And a lot of you women of God out here are in disarray when it comes to tonight's broadcast, because some of the things that I mentioned, you are an idol. You don't want to submit to your husband. You don't want to submit to the men of the church because you have idols. A lot of you, your idols, especially those of you who have been to, got a little theological education underneath your belt, been to seminary and so on, you got these stripes on your robe, masters and PhD, and boy, ain't no man going to tell you that you can't teach them when you know you know. This ain't about you. It's about you listening and following the structure of church authority. And no man in his right mind should ever want to marry you in such disobedience. I don't care how many stripes you have on your robe. I don't care how many degrees you have on the wall. I don't care how much money you make five times more than I do. I don't care if you can raise the children better than I can. I don't care if you can drive the car better. I don't care if you can take out the trash better. I don't care if you can plug the TV up better. I don't care if you don't care what you can do better than me as a man. You can preach and teach better. It makes no difference. At the end of the day, the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, how we're going to live our relationships is according to God's word. And God's word says you should not have spiritual authority over me. Now, anything less than that is an idol in your life. And if I have any mind, if I have any sense, I'll never say yes or I do to you or propose to you in that state that you're in. Because if I do, boy, I'm going to catch it going into the wedding, going into the marriage. I need you to get over that now. I need you to see that idol, these idols in your life now. Not I say I do and then we work on it. I need you to see it now. I need you to get into the position where God wants you to be in this relationship now, in this house relationship, in our dating relationship, in our courting relationship, in the church relationship. I need you to get into that position now. And then as a helper, my helper, you help me by praying for me and nudging me to stay in the position I'm supposed to be in. The worst things we can do in relationship is cross lanes. It's a hard pill to swallow for many. Nevertheless, let the truth be told tonight. Those who can hear and understand, go forward with the message and let it bless your life. For those who can't see it, who are against it, who oppose everything they heard tonight, then I pray for you. Those who are listening and hear the truth of God's word tonight, pray for those who you know who may be against the truth of women and how they delegate a spiritual authority in their relationships. Pray for those, for these women of God who can't see the truth of how they should not be pastoring over men and delegating spiritual authority over men in the homes, in the church, in the community, anywhere on the face of this planet. Break this broadcast open and make a hard right and swing into a topic that where we're talking about organizations out here that are promoting and building up women's rights and women's live to the point where as though women take that and claim that as an idol and put it in their little bag and their little bag of tricks or lie bag or idol bag and it strengthens the lie even more that they don't need the men for this and they can do the men over that and they're just totally, totally out of pocket regarding what God has to say about this. About them having spiritual authority over men, teaching over men, pastoring over men. They're totally out of pocket. You start getting a little spiritual education under your belt. Next thing you know, you join these political groups and these pro-women groups to tell you, you don't need that man, you don't need to listen to that man and that man. And next thing you know, that's what you believe in and live in. And it's another lie, it's another idol. And how far have you gotten from what God is telling you to do regarding spiritual authority in the church and in the home with other men and with your man? And some of you will live your whole life thinking that this is right, and you won't know that it's not right until you stand in judgment, and then you'll know. You had your eyes fixed on me, the messenger. You had your eyes fixed on Paul. Oh, that's what Paul was talking about back then. That's what Timothy was talking about back then. You had your eyes fixed on every other man but the man, which is Jesus. And the word that he tells us in his scripture, tells you, tells women in his scripture. Get your spiritual focus on the right man. And then you can be the right woman to the right man. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thanks for listening to the EYC Radio. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If any lack knowledge, ask God, will I need you? I believe without doubt, but some are blown and tossed, spiritually dead in the world that they walk in. Your people perish for what they don't know. The blind lead the blind, and it troubles my soul. The command you gave, love one another as you love me. I love my sisters and brothers. The cross that I bear is to honor your name, to let your will be done until my dying day. There's a love in me that comes from you. I was pricked in the heart, the spirit of truth. I obey your command as an offering of love. You show yourself to me and I thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost power is what I receive, so I store up your word for the time of need. That's blessed with twins. No home to raise them, no income coming in. Her life is sin, no quality friends, no family dynamic, no support system. It's a generational curse. I call out the demon, I call it out of my home in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of them boys, I'll keep them in prayer. I cast a burden on you, Lord, and I'm leaving it there. Have a go to work on us fathers, the good, the bad, the absentee, and the ones that don't bother. Let the will be done that we raise our sons and nurture our daughters the way that you want us, without irritation or provoking their anger, but patiently a perfect work. I rebuke the hater, the family and church where the devil's at play. I lay axe to the roof to cut the head off the snake.
I pray for you, and that's what I'm gonna do. I see
give us, we all have sin. Lord, we need you. Where to begin? We worship what we don't know, forsaken as an idol. God's chosen, held liable, instructions in the Bible. But who wants to read? It says to get an understanding. Without faith, you don't believe. And God's not pleased. You reap what you sow. Sparingly you sow, you reap accordingly. I seek first the Lord's righteousness. I ask him to see from God that I might glorify him. I'm on my knees, calling on Jesus. I'm a believer, anointed to speak up, full of his word and Holy Ghost power. When I'm weak in my ways, I bathe in scriptural showers. Man cannot live by bread alone, but for every word of God, that's what I'm studying for.
I pray for you.